for life. Welcome to Pro Wrestling Unscripted, your number one source for news in the wrestling world, assuming you've exhausted all other options.
The options that we go to.
That's the intro. That's my idea.
Yeah.
It's building us up while knocking us down at the same time.
We.
Really, that's what life's all about. Welcome to Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Shannon Young here with you on this July 13th. We are 2 weeks away from Battleground.
Sure.
But more importantly, we just wrapped up the first round of the Cruiserweight Classic. We're going to talk about that tonight along with a bunch of other super important topics and not so super important topics like nachos. I don't know why we're talking about that. Hey, down at the end of the table for Mr. 100 and the Five-Star Man, that's last night.
Yeah, it was last night.
Yeah. Ace Gray.
I am still the Five-Star Man.
You are, and it's still the same lineup from yesterday.
It really is.
Until we figure something out. Ace is down at the end of the table. Allie to the right of me.
Hello.
And let's kick this off with what we just finished watching, the Cruiserweight Classic. It's Cruiserweight Classic, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I keep wanting to say Cruiserweight Championship.
I wish.
This is not a championship tournament.
No.
This is just, like I told you, this is Street Fighter.
Yeah.
This is as close as we're ever going to get to Street Fighter in real life.
Yeah.
Other than what UFC used to be, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels very much like UFC. We said this when it started. When they're doing the intros and you're showing all the guys from the different countries, the different stats and stuff like that, it very much feels like a big fight. It feels like a legitimate tournament. This isn't just another Raw, icy, four-man, whatever.
I loved everything about it.
Yeah,
it was,
I did too.
It does feel like a big fight. It feels like a legitimate – there's a sense of legitimacy to the entire thing from Mauro Ranallo and Daniel Bryan doing commentary.
Great.
And crushing it.
Yeah. Telling the stories in the ring.
Telling the stories in the ring, calling the moves, putting over the people in the ring instead of fighting amongst themselves and bickering and making themselves popular. And
what a difference. Yeah. You would be confused if you watch this, if it wasn't on the WWE Network and you watch Raw or SmackDown, you would be confused that this is the same company that does these things because
absolutely.
It's so different. It's so different.
Aside from the production value, this does not feel like a WWE product.
No, it doesn't.
At all. Like I said, the stage looks neat. The entrance way isn't like the huge Titantron. It's not even like the NXT ramp.
Yeah. It seems very indie.
It has like a really polished indie feel.
Yeah. I don't know why, but I was getting some vibes. Other than the ring not rotating, I was getting some real WCW Saturday Night vibes. And I don't know why. Maybe it was just the color scheme they went with was similar. It reminded me of it. But it was a great combination. I do wish – I know this is picky. This is nitpicking. Mm-hmm. I wish they had done different referees because the referees are basically just the same ones you see on Raw and SmackDown.
That is the WWE referees.
And I get that. I mean, why? It seems pointless. Why bring in special referees for this event?
Mm-hmm.
But it would have been cool to have, you know, maybe some referees from other countries.
Well,
Or something, just do something special with the refs as well.
I think the reason they did, like, and this may be just because they didn't feel like paying extra people, but maybe it is just kind of to lend to the legitimacy of it. Like, these are actual WWE-trained officials.
Because in WWE's mind, WWE is the top of the mountain, which it is. Which it is. Let's not trick ourselves.
So, that could be it. Or maybe even if they could have almost differentiated it, like, bring back the old WCW blue shirt and bow tie.
Yeah. Or even the old black shirt and, you know, there was lots of different styles that they've done over the years. And I really like the blue shirt style of it. I'm trying to find right now.
I actually had a Nick Patrick action figure.
He was the bad guy.
I know.
He was the bad ref.
I hurt him so bad in those matches.
I'm trying to find the matches we saw tonight because I'm going to try to, okay,
remember?
Hold on. Don't tell me. I'm going to try to remember them off the top of my head by myself. There was Gran Metalik.
Grand Metalik
beat the guy from Chile.
Saiz.
I don't remember his first name.
I don't remember his first name either.
Because, I mean, that was a great match. They both did a great job.
All four of them were
all four
really
matches
good
were
matches.
Really good.
Yeah.
There were definitely some standout stars, though. And
yeah.
I feel like the ones in the matches were the standout stars, the ones that won. Except one match. Could go either way.
Yeah.
But Grand Metalik beat Saiz. The second match, I believe, was it Ho-Ho Loon versus Daivari?
Yes.
Yes.
And I think we all agreed that we think Daivari should have won that match. Because Ali pointed this out after the show, it was nothing but faces. Right. Yeah. All faces won.
Which I don't think that's going to be the trend going forward, especially because there's so many more first round matches going. But I do also think that it's hard to do an established heel face dynamic
when the people don't know the wrestlers.
When you don't have an attachment to the wrestlers. They do a great job of these like little intro vignettes before each match. Both competitors get a little, they introduce themselves, they talk about the style, their motivations for competing in it.
And that's what made it seem so legit to me, is when they're doing their intros, none of them were just overtly heel. Like even Daivari and what was the French guy's name?
Patoot.
Yeah, I don't think that's probably how you actually pronounce it, but I might be wrong on that.
That's how I pronounce it.
But in Patoot's, I feel so stupid saying that word. In his intro video, he talked about training with Lance Storm. You know, he put over Lance Storm really big. And then with Daivari, he put over his, I believe, brother, which is Sean Daivari, that used to be in WWE as Khosrow Daivari with Muhammad Hassan. We were both bummed out that we didn't get to hear the theme of Muhammad Hassan
because
for his intro.
So far, every competitor has had unique entrance music.
Yeah.
Daivari's that he used, while we were disappointed that we didn't get to hear the Hassan theme.
Yeah.
He had great music.
And he was a standout heel.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
From the moment he walked out to the part where he refused to shake hands.
Which is another thing that they did that I almost feel like now, like talking about it now, like I really wish I would have taken notes, because there's so many little things that they did that I loved.
And they it's completely different from anything they do on WWE TV. They intro'd the wrestlers. They featured what their strengths were. Like, that's something I've never seen before. Yeah. Like, with some wrestlers, it said technical. Some wrestlers said striking, strong style.
Kota Ibushi was strong style, high flying.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it was...
That's not something they do. And then the referees did the intros. You know, I told you what happened, you know, backstage. Are there any questions? Mm-hmm. Shake hands. It seemed very formal. Like, this really did seem like a legitimate tournament. And it was a great opportunity for Daivari to go full heel immediately, which he did against Ho Ho Loon. And I think that he could have been the breakout heel of this tournament. I'm sad that he's out of it already.
He was actually going to be one of my dark horse picks to win the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because like I said, like I could absolutely see him being a big player in NXT.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, or the joke that we made of him, you know, already like he could beat three low card guys, get beat by Roman Reigns, and then join up with Heath Slater's third band.
You've already planned out his entire career.
I have.
Yeah.
And it's believable though.
And the fact that, I mean, okay, I'm not racist. Never is a good way to start a conversation. But the WWE is clearly racist. Mm-hmm. You could take Daivari, put him in his headdress, smack him on Raw or SmackDown, have him come out, come one anti-America promo, immediate super heel.
Oh, yeah.
He's already destined to be a great heel.
Yeah.
And I don't like that they put him out in the tournament. Ho Ho Loon was really good. He's very cute.
I didn't understand.
He's very pretty.
He's very enigmatic.
Allie, was he pretty?
His hair was. What?
His hair was lovely.
I don't know why I had to put an input on this. You're too.
Because we were fishing for the hair comment.
Yeah.
Because he has the swoopy.
His hair is fluffy.
It is very fluffy. It was very cute. He was very confusing and looked confused.
He smiled a lot.
He smiled after getting hurt.
He shouldn't have smiled.
His smile kind of has that, like, should I be smiling right now? Like
that uncomfortable smile?
It's the... I feel like I should smile, so I'm just going to open my mouth in a way that looks like...
I've never been in front of this many people before, so I'm just going to show my teeth.
And he did a good job of it. He had wonderful teeth. But he was good.
No, he was really good.
But I still think Daivari should have won.
Yeah, I would have preferred that. But, yeah. I mean, I'm interested to see how Ho Ho Loon does in the rest of the
I am too. Tournament. Although, they kind of telegraphed it. And we'll get to that in a second. And I truly believe that that's who they're going with. But, you know, we'll get to that here in a second. The third match was Patoot versus
Cedric Alexander.
Cedric Alexander, Cedric Alexander is really, really good from everything I've seen him so far. I can almost hear Dalton already saying, yeah, I loved him and enter various Fed I looked up online. But no, Cedric Alexander looked really good. He got lyrics for his music. Like you said.
That's what I said. Like, you know how I know he's going to win? His entrance has words.
And he did a great job. He looked good. He has a look. I think he's going to go far. I don't think he's going to win it. But
crazy athletic.
I can also see him in NXT very easily.
Yeah.
I want to say. Oh no, I'm thinking of Rich Swann. So far, like even guys like Grand Metalik and Saiz, like I didn't know anything about either of those guys. Blew me away.
Yeah.
Knew that's, nothing about any of these people.
That springboard where he.
I also know nothing about
when Metalik ran and did the he stepped on the second rope and then propelled himself over the rope and then did the crazy.
Or Saez when he did the shooting star press.
The shooting star off the apron, yeah. Like, it's just all of these guys, I'm just like, oh, wow, yeah, these are people that I want to keep an eye on now.
And they very much, they make it sound like it's like, they very much show the style of like the old WCW wrestlers. I think they showed Juventud in the intro, but I didn't get that feeling. That's I did not get the same feeling from this that I got watching WCW and Nitro when I was younger.
Because these were treated with respect.
Well, to be fair, I mean, once the NWO came around especially, but I mean, you can't deny that Nitro presented the Cruiserweights as these guys are special. But I think it was very much more that they were just high flyers. This cruiserweight tournament that we're watching now, even though there is high flying to it, there was so much more ring psychology than I think I saw in the WCW matches.
Well, and I think it's because I think that's a really conscious choice that they're making, is they're presenting this as these are legitimate competitors and athletes. Whereas Nitro, it always, even as a kid, I kind of felt like it was, okay, here's your hour of the cool flippy stuff.
Yeah.
Until the big boys come up, and then that's who you want to really pay attention to.
And it worked. It worked.
Oh, no, absolutely.
Like, they got me.
You know, while they're like, hey, this is the only place you can see stuff like this, but you're not really here for that. You're here for Hulk Hogan and Kevin Nash.
The NWO.
Yeah.
Just say the NWO.
Right, yeah.
Because that's the only reason we watched it.
Yeah.
But I did love the Cruiserweights. But I get a different feeling from these guys.
Because this is like a, you know, this tournament is, again, like a really, like, legitimate. They've done so much to make this feel like a big deal.
They're presented as fighters.
Yeah.
Less so as attractions.
Superstars.
And more as fighters in this. Like I said, I get that big UFC feel from it. That big fight, this is legit.
The pre-match introduction, and like you mentioned, the questionnaire, the handshake.
Yeah.
The post-match where both competitors are still in the ring.
And they raise the hand of the winner.
The ref raises the hand of the winner.
Stuff like that, oh man, you don't see that on, and I know a lot of this is in Ring of Honor. I know Ring of Honor does a similar style.
Yeah.
I don't watch a lot of Ring of Honor because it still mixes in the storylines and stuff. This show, the crazy thing about this show, no storyline.
Right.
There's not a storyline.
Daivari did not immediately attack Ho-Ho-Loon after the tournament.
Yeah.
Like,
there was no promo intros, like where they're talking trash. There's no storyline that they would be fighting. This is a tournament.
Right.
Yeah, because storyline is they want to win.
Yeah, the storyline is they want to win. They want to be the best that no one ever was.
Stop it.
Stopped. And then the final match in the first round of the tournament, and this was, again, they've telegraphed that this is the main guy of the tournament, and you could tell the moment he stepped out of Ace, I'm going to butcher his name again.
Kota Ibushi.
I'm always afraid I'm going to miss pronounce it, but I'm getting better. Kota Ibushi. Mm-hmm. Remember that name.
Right.
Because you will be hearing that name a lot in the future.
Absolutely.
The moment he stepped out to the match, he was the only guy that got a major reaction.
Yeah.
Cedric Alexander got a reaction. Everybody got a reaction.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment Kota Ibushi stepped out, the crowd went nuts. It reminded me of when Shinsuke Nakamura debuted. Like, they knew this guy.
Yeah.
And he brings a great pedigree with him. And once he got in the ring, the stuff that he did in there was just awe-inspiring.
And not to even take away, because Ibushi did great, but Sean Maluda, his opponent,
also did fantastic.
They even kind of mentioned, like, this would have been a huge upset, because who'd have thought, on commentary, when they told the story of, this is Maluda, this win could make his career. This is something he's an up-and-comer. He's what's the phrase they use? Starter. I don't remember.
Squirtle.
No, not
he's a starter.
He's an upstart.
Upstart, yeah.
And he looked great.
He did.
Aside from the one the flip where he got caught on the ropes, which could have looked a whole lot worse.
Even with that, I think this partly has to do with the commentary, how the commenters
covered it.
Instead
of just being like, oh, wow, what was he trying to do? They were like, he's making moves. He's doing what he needs to do.
He's going outside
of
his comfort zone.
Actually,
because
he knows that he has to do everything possible to
beat Kota
Ibushi.
Yeah. Who
the reason.
The Golden Star.
The Golden Star.
Truly is.
And, you know, he did, as well as Bobby Roode, he appeared in the crowd at one of the last takeovers.
Ibushi
at NXT. Yeah. So that was really the first time that you saw him. So he clearly had, like, I think if he hadn't appeared in that NXT, I don't think he would have as much of that he's the telegraphed winner. Because I'd be kind of surprised if he actually won it.
Really?
I mean, you think they've
telegraphed it too much?
It's kind of one of those things where they're setting it up to win. But at the same time, I'm still very much interested in how they're presenting guys like, why can't I think of it? Will Ospreay, or not Will Ospreay, Zack Sabre Jr.
Yeah.
And
you know, that's the, what you just mentioned, that's the weird thing about this tournament is, I don't know most of these guys. A couple I do know. Obviously, Tajiri. I've seen Tajiri.
Yeah.
The Brian Kendrick. But for the most part, I don't know these guys, and I don't have a clear-cut favorite. I don't have a guy, you know, like with the WrestleMania IC title match, the ladder match, I wanted Zack Ryder to win. Right. I'm a Zack Ryder fan, so I wanted him to
win. You had a personal investment in that guy.
I don't have a personal investment in any of these guys, but that actually works in their favor because I can develop interest in these guys as I watch them. This is an opportunity for these guys to really wow everybody that's watching this. It's a clean slate. Nobody knows, you know, for the most part, nobody knows much about
the
these
guys. The
casual
fan watching this as a network's exclusive, because, like, you know, even some of the more casual people who don't even watch NXT watched NXT tonight. And then, like, oh, what's this Cruiserweight thing that's coming on right after?
And they can form the bonds with these guys, you know,
and
it's fresh.
And if the rest of these matches are like the ones tonight, then crap. Like, I don't understand how WWE can put this out and still expect us to swallow the stuff that happens on Raw.
Triple H did the intro. That's all I'll say.
Yeah.
Triple H, the most hated guy on television, the most beloved guy backstage for the IWC.
It's one of those things a couple months ago where it's like, people are picking on internet darling Triple H.
Yeah.
Go back 5 years and say that sentence.
Yeah. NXT and now this Cruiserweight. And, you know, this very much proves to me that they obviously won't do it because there's no way they can have so many different shows going at once. Mm-hmm. But a Cruiserweight show dedicated to Cruiserweights could be viable.
Oh, yeah. If you did almost like just an hour-long replace main event
with
Superstars or something. Or make it just a network thing. Like, I mean, I know the way that they film the bulk of the NXT shows, you can't just do like a little 30-minute intro, like prelude into an NXT taping or something like that. Yeah. I mean, there's... I want a play. That's kind of what I was hoping Global Force Wrestling would be. Just like, here's all these guys. Like, use them. Make them fight each other.
Yeah.
But
like, I wish you guys could see Asa just then. It looked like he had little action figures in his hand, and he's making them fight each other. He's so excited.
I was like, this is legitimately the most excited I've been about a wrestling thing.
It's true. You actually texted
me time.
And told me, get to the store. I want to watch wrestling. And I was like, ooh.
Yeah,
it's been a while.
Because, well, the main thing was, which was not on the giant list we have prepared of stuff we need to talk about. NXT
last time we take a week off.
NXT tonight, Shinsuke Nakamura versus Finn Balor.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. Let's wrap up this Cruiserweight Championship, tournament.
Well, with this message of watch it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Go on, and just because we've already mentioned who won and lost, we'll take nothing away from these matches.
No, they're good matches. And I believe next week they said Tajiri will be on. Which would be interesting.
For full disclosure, I did not close the register.
You did
because
not.
Because NXT was already started. I just locked the doors and wanted to sit down. So when they were going over the matches for next week or the next, I don't know if it's weekly or if it's like
the next episode.
The next episode, I do remember DeMac versus TJ Perkins.
All right, DeMac. God bless you, son. DeMac. It's the return of DeMac. That's a song by Mark Morrison.
Because I remember your reaction to DeMac. That's the only one that I remember is actually happening next week.
And I mentioned I saw Tajiri. Maybe I'm imagining things. I'm seeing what I wanted to see. But yeah, go watch it. We're going to continue.
Oh, yeah, Tajiri versus Damian Slater.
Damian Slater. That was the other guy. We're going to continue to follow this. We'll give you updates every show. It is a fantastic tournament, and it's different. If you're tired of the cookie-cutter nonsense that Raw and SmackDown is every week, do yourself a favor. One, watch NXT. Two, watch the Cruiserweight tournament because
Cruiserweight Classic.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Now going on to
NXT.
It's
going to be a classic.
The only thing I saw from NXT, I didn't see the rest of it, but Shinsuke Nakamura fought Finn Balor. It was a crazy match.
Literally the only other thing that happened was Samoa Joe cut a really great promo.
Yeah.
I know
interrupted by the War Machine.
Rhino came out.
Basically the embodiment of Super Meat Boy because he's just a block with arms and legs. and really greasy looking, you know.
You pointed it out. Like, his body is weird.
His body is so oddly shaped. He's like a big, strong Danny DeVito. He's just strange looking.
Yeah.
You know?
I wouldn't say it to his face.
No.
I would say, yes, sir.
He's the War Machine.
Gore! I miss Heyman now. NXT, there was a great match between Finn Balor and Shinsuke Nakamura.
Very much, you were going a little bit crazy because it had a lot of that Will Ospreay Ricochet feel to it where they would hit... They would be hurt and hit a big move, and then they would immediately counter with a big move.
Well, and it wasn't even that. Like, I don't have a problem with that kind of storytelling. The problem that I had with it is I feel like we saw a new side of Finn Balor that we haven't seen on NXT yet, because he was vicious. As soon as he hit that first dropkick on Nakamura's knee.
That was a sick move, by the way.
He was breaking out new submissions. He had a heel hook. He had the surfboard where he did the double stomp. Like, he was targeting the knee hardcore, no remorse, just really going for it. And it was, like, really great. And then it would literally, I don't remember what move it was, where it's like later in the match too, he takes a stiff shot, hits him in the knee, and Nakamura immediately plants that same knee and hits a kick.
Yeah.
So it's, no selling. I was really bummed. Like, that kind of did bum me out. Like, overall, it was a great match, but it's just, it really bummed me out that Nakamura didn't really show the effects.
No, again, the give credit to the announce team, because they tried to cover it, like Ali said earlier, with the botch by, Salute. What was his name? The Samoan.
Maluda.
Yeah, I want to say
Sean,
Saluda.
Sean Maluda.
Yeah, but the announce team, they covered it. They said that, you know, props to Shinsuke Nakamura for not
fighting through the pain.
Fighting through the pain and stuff like that. They were telling the story that it seems like Shinsuke Nakamura was ignoring.
I mean, if you whenever you are in pain, but you're in a situation that they want you to think that these two mm-hmm. guys are in, most people know they're trying to. They're just doing what they're yeah. supposed to, but you have a fight or flight, and you will work through the pain. And then afterwards, he showed pain in his yeah, knee, and like, it's hitting me now.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
but it's here now. But I think my problem is
the best wrestlers will show it.
Yeah,
the best wrestlers
will limp.
They'll limp, or they'll check their leg after a move. Daniel Bryan was good about checking his leg or something after a move, showing that I'm hurt. I'm trying to work through it. It seemed like Shinsuke until the end. Just didn't show it.
Yeah.
Didn't show it at all. Mm-hmm. Only showed it when he was in the move.
Yeah.
Didn't show it when he was out of it. And part of me wondered, is this a cultural thing? You know, was he understanding that he needed to sell his leg? And I wanted to say, of course he does.
Right.
Because he's a veteran.
Mm-hmm.
He knows how to do it. So what was the mental choice there of not showing that when he focused so much on the leg?
And like you said, like the announcers did do a really good job of covering it. It's just, it's unfortunate that cover came after them saying like, oh, look at him targeting this leg.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to be able to get 100% on, you know, a kick. You know, he can't plant that foot anymore. He can't, you know, and then he does.
Then he did.
Yeah.
He did everything
so
like
that. And really that's my only complaint about the match. Otherwise, like I said, Balor looked like $1 million.
It was an epic match. It wasn't as good as the Sami Zayn match just because it doesn't have that. This is the first
there
time
was
feel.
There was something special about that.
Because you can go back and look at the Nakamura versus Austin Aries match. It was good, but again, it didn't have that same feeling. But I thought this match was better.
Yeah.
This was a better match than Austin Aries versus Nakamura. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of sad that I think this is the only time we're going to see him fight, at least for the time being. Because I can almost guarantee Finn Balor's heading
totally
up to the main roster.
It does really feel like a main roster send-off, like they gave to Zayn, the official one.
Yeah, because the draft is next week.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to talk about it much on this show because we're going to save it for the actual draft.
I meant to pitch this to you.
We'll do it live on the air.
I think we should do, because it's Tuesday, it's the first live SmackDown.
You think we should skip Mr. 100 and the Five Star Man and
do like a post? Well, not even, I wasn't even thinking that. I was just thinking like you should just come to the store and use PS View and we can watch SmackDown. And then we can have, because WWE Network is doing a same time like draft coverage show.
We'll do both at the same time.
And do both, yeah.
And we could, we'll see. I mean, we'll definitely do that, but we might
and
just bump
Mr.
pro wrestling up.
To
and,
Wednesday.
Yeah,
like
for next
we did,
week.
Yeah.
We'll probably do that. So let's make that announcement now. Next week, Pro Wrestling Unscripted is going to be a special edition on Tuesday because we're going to cover the draft. And then Mr. 100 and the Five Star Man will be on Wednesday in the normal spot of PW. Moving on from NXT, because it was a good show.
Yeah.
Go watch that Nakamura Balor match.
Watch the whole thing, because that Joe promo was...
His
statement about, like, these are the stories you're thinking. Finn Balor defeats Shinsuke Nakamura, reclaims his title from me, and becomes the first two-time NXT champion. Shinsuke Nakamura defeats Finn Balor, comes and conquers me, beats me, and wins his first NXT championship. I'm the champion.
Yeah.
They say he is the king of strong style. I am the emperor.
Joe
showed such fire, and I loved it. I loved all of it.
I hope Joe keeps the title for a very long time. I think Joe is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
I know everyone always says that, you know, ever since he's been in TNA and before that, you know, back in Ring of Honor and those kind of things. But he's amazing, and he's a great champion. He's that kind of Brock Lesnar style that he seems legitimate. Like, he seems like an actual ass kicker.
Right.
He's not somebody that you think they're pushing as an ass kicker like Roman Reigns.
Right.
He seems like a guy that
they don't have to try it.
No, it's organic.
Well, The only people who like Samoa Joe are the people who have seen him. Because he's amazing.
That's not true. Stevie Wonder. Big fan, I
big
hear.
Big fan. Big fan, I've heard that. I heard that.
Speaking of NXT, Hideo Itami and Neville, even though Neville's a main...
Former NXT champion.
Former NXT champion, so it counts.
A couple big returns this past 2 weeks.
Especially Itami. Itami has been out for
longer
a
than
year.
He was actually in... Like, been competing in NXT, yeah.
Very unfortunate, too, because Itami came in like a house on fire. Mm-hmm. He was one of the top guys.
He
didn't really take off at
first.
He
was one of the first big signings.
Yes.
Like, big international
before
signings.
Balor,
Before Balor, before Nakamura.
Before, I keep wanting to say Kana, because I don't know why.
Asuka?
Yeah, I don't know why her Japanese name is now stuck in my head. Asuka. Asuka. Before Asuka, before all those guys, yeah.
Yeah.
Hideo Itami was the big... Foreign signing, especially,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and he seemed to struggle a little bit at first.
He did.
With the American style, but he really started to feel like he was getting in a groove, and then terrible shoulder injury. But yeah, he debuted at a house show, I want to say last week.
Was it, where, it was in another country, wasn't it?
I don't know if it was in another country or if it was, I don't remember. Oh, it might have been it was either the Hawaii show or it was the Japan.
I think it may have been Japan.
Because they did some shows in Japan.
Ali, have you ever got the chance to see Hideo Itami wrestle?
No.
Because I believe when you started hanging out and watching the wrestling with us, this was after Hideo Itami got hurt.
Yeah.
And that's as crazy. As long as you've been a part of the circle, he's been out longer than that. And that's crazy to think he's been out for so long.
It really is.
I'm so glad that he's back.
Yeah.
I'm hoping.
I can't wait to see what they do with him.
Yeah, like, especially now that you've got Nakamura and, Balor is on his way out.
See, I have a crazy prediction about that. I actually think that the Balor, it's just a tease. I don't think he's going up yet. I think he's going to do a full-fledged, I think he's going to end up doing a heel turn.
You could tie that into how Hideo Itami left.
Because,
the beatdown.
So what happened is there was supposed to be a triple threat for the NXT Championship. Itami was assaulted in the parking lot before the match happened, and it turned into, was that when Owens beat... Or when Balor beat Owens?
Yeah, because the big question was, did Owens do it?
Yeah, and because he's on the ground attacked, and Owens just walks by with the belt on his shoulder. What a shame.
Yeah.
And just walks off. So everyone assumed it was Owens. I really want to see what I hope that they do is it turns out Balor was the one who attacked him and took him out because he knew he couldn't beat Itami and Owens.
And we've never seen Itami versus Balor.
We have.
That's
not
a fresh
yet.
Match.
Yeah,
they did team together originally, if mm-hmm. you remember.
Yeah, they did that little tag team run. Because it's almost like they did, like, hey, so you're doing good, but we're going to pair you with, like, Captain Charisma here.
Yeah.
Oh, now I miss Christian. we're going to pair you with this guy.
This guy that just walks out and immediately gets showered with love. Yeah. So that's exciting. Neville's also back.
Yeah, he debuted at the SmackDown taping. On Tuesday.
Neville, man, what a...
Last ever SmackDown taping.
What a guy they really missed the mark with on Neville, on the main roster.
I think they can still do so much with him.
I hope they do. His match with John Cena was incredible.
Yeah.
They seemed like they really pushed him to the top, pulled him back, pushed him, pulled him back. You know that 50-50 booking that we all love so much?
Real quick, too. He teamed with Stephen Amell at SummerSlam against Stardust and King Barrett.
Stardust.
He's going to be on the new season of Arrow.
Good for you, Cody Rhodes. So those guys are back. That's real nice. Guess who else came back?
Who else came back, Shannon?
Brock Lesnar came back to the UFC.
He sure did.
I'm going to steal this from Cody. I know Cody's going to want to talk about this. Cody, I apologize in advance. I'll try not to speak about this too much. But Brock Lesnar returned to the UFC over the weekend at UFC 200 against Mark Hunt, the Super Samoan, who, leading into the match...
Ranked number eight.
And came up with every excuse possible for why he might lose if he lost. He accused Lesnar of doping. He accused Lesnar of not having to take the same test that everyone else has to for, you know, whatever reason. Mm-hmm. I mean, he really had just a card of excuses. But even though with all of those excuses, most people favored him versus Lesnar. I don't think Lesnar was the favorite going into this. This is his first match back in 5 years. Mm-hmm. What was Lesnar going to do? He made it very clear that he didn't care what happened. They asked him flat out, do you think this will hurt your WWE, you know, and pardon the language, we don't try not to cuss here, but he literally said, I don't give a shit.
Literally, yeah. That's
literally
it. That was
said
a direct
that.
Quote.
Yeah.
Do you think if a loss at UFC will hurt your marketability of WWE Raw?
I really don't give a shit.
Yep.
Well, Stephanie McMahon said that the WWE is not really promoting you in this. I really don't care what she says. Lesnar is just, I actually posted this The WWE sent out a tweet congratulating Brock Lesnar, and it's like the beast is back in UFC and all that. And I tweeted them, and I said, I feel really bad for you guys, dick riding a guy so hard who has publicly said how little he cares about you over and over again just for a rub.
Yeah.
I got a lot of likes on that, by the way. I was very proud of that. But yeah, so Lesnar came back at UFC 200, beat Mark Hunt in a decision.
Unanimous decision.
After three rounds.
Yep.
It was a slow match. It was a slow, calculating match that a lot of people didn't see coming. Lesnar looked great.
That's the match that I thought it was going to be. I think I'm happy to say that Lesnar did not try to outstrike him.
No, which would have been a mistake.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah. Like, he knew that he needed to get him on the ground. He needed to out-wrestle him.
Which
and
he did.
And he did.
Yeah. And Hunt's a great fighter, but now that Lesnar has beaten him, automatically thrown back into the title,
he's being like, okay, so you just kind of came in after 5 years with however little training, like, because you have to assume he's been training for UFC return for a while.
Yeah,
but his last match was at WrestleMania. Like, I don't see how you can do both.
And he also,
especially with how he looked at WrestleMania and the way he looked at that UFC fight.
Yeah,
what are you?
He makes
you're
it,
not a person.
He makes it very clear that. I feel like he didn't have a ton of time to do this.
Mm-hmm.
He literally just a couple of weeks ago, maybe 2-3 months ago, said, you know what? I'm going to fight in UFC again.
Yeah.
Made it happen and won.
Yeah.
He makes it very clear that he does what he wants. He said what Brock Lesnar wants.
This is a whole thing I wish I would have taken notes on. At his post-fight interview, not the one in the octagon, but the press conference, you know, okay, so do you see yourself, you know, your name, you know, this could put you in some sort of, you know, title picture. Do you want to fight in the UFC again? Do you want to focus on WWE? It's pretty clear that Brock Lesnar does what Brock Lesnar wants.
Yeah. And he does. He absolutely does. He fought at UFC, which was mind-boggling.
On its own.
Why Vince McMahon would agree to that.
Right.
Because Brock Lesnar might not care, but if he would have gotten beat, then that definitely would have hurt his money machine in the WWE. But he didn't. So now WWE, through no effort of their own, has an even bigger star to promote at SummerSlam.
Yeah. Which he has a match at SummerSlam.
Oh, and boy, we wish it could be better.
I don't. This is a match I've wanted to see for a while.
Really?
Well, okay. This is a match I would have wanted to see before the streak. Before he conquered the streak and especially before he won at UFC.
Yeah.
Because now there is there's no chance that Randy Orton, the Viper, beats Brock Lesnar.
Which is bad because this is Orton's first match back.
First match back,
in months.
The Viper versus the Beast. I love that. I'm so glad he's wrestling someone other than Undertaker and Triple H.
I am too.
And Cena.
But I agree with what you just said. It's really hard to picture Lesnar fighting anybody at this point.
See, and that's
he's back in that super mode where it's like, who could beat him?
No one can believably, except for.
No. No, because even when he fought him, he didn't beat him.
Yeah.
You know, it never beat him clean. They've done such a good job of protecting Brock Lesnar. They have. I mean.
Which they have to.
Because he'll kick their ass.
Yeah.
If they don't.
He's probably supposed to lose every match so far. He's just like, no.
He's writing the script as he walks out. But yeah, I'll be honest. I don't want to see him fight Orton because I don't think their styles match very well.
I don't know. Orton, I think, is underrated. As a performer,
I like Orton.
He's a guy who gets poo. I think it's not quite like Roman Reigns treatment, but everyone discredits him. I think people discredit his ability because of some of the programs he's been given where he's not able to show his full enthusiasm.
Yeah, he's maybe. The bad thing about having a gimmick like the Viper, where you're supposed to be very cold and calculating, is that you can also come across very boring.
Yeah.
Because you don't have that outgoing personality.
Especially when you're, you know, for 6 months straight of, hey, tune into SmackDown for Randy Orton versus Sheamus. Because those were, every single one of those matches were good to great. But at a certain point, it's like, okay, you got to switch it up.
We had the same problem with Cena. Remember the last match he had with Cena? It was a good match.
Yeah.
That within 2 minutes was already getting boring chance.
Yeah.
And same old shit.
Because it shouldn't have been, but we'd already seen it so many times, it's hard to.
So this is fresh. Lesnar versus Orton. And I remember both of those guys came from the same graduating class down in, I believe it was still OVW, because it was Orton, Lesnar, Batista, and Cena.
Yep.
All came in the same time. What a graduating class.
Holy crap.
Four huge superstars right there. And Lesnar versus Orton, I don't know. I feel like if, I just, I don't know who you put against Lesnar at this point. I really don't.
I think Orton's a great choice. Number two guy in the company for
the longest
time.
But they're
going
to feed him to him.
See, and that's the thing. It's like, I'm kind of concerned because I don't want to see Orton shatter like glass.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of think that might be a real possibility.
That's a legitimate possibility.
But, I mean, I'm excited, especially if it means Paul Heyman's coming back. Heyman-Orton promos. I'm excited about it. I think the match itself will be good. I'm cautiously optimistic because I also was really excited about the Dean Ambrose-Lesnar match. And then that got like 8 minutes and was just suplex fest.
That was bad.
Yeah.
The Ambrose-Lesnar match, that was just a terrible combo. I don't know why that didn't work, but it didn't.
It didn't work because they didn't give it enough time and they did nothing to try to make Ambrose look legitimate.
Which, again,
who is now the WWE champion, yeah. So.
For now.
Hey.
For now.
Yeah, until Brock Lesnar decides he wants it.
Brock Lesnar's going to go to Vince McMahon and say, hey, so I've decided I want to be champion again.
Or, you know,
yes,
next
sir.
Monday. Whenever they just
okay, so we don't have this.
Their pay-per-view.
We don't have this written down. But just real quick, they announced for next week Rollins versus Ambrose for the title. This is just a week before the triple threat match of Rollins versus Ambrose versus Reigns
for
the title,
where the bad guy Seth Rollins is champion the cause of the person who is currently suspended for
whatever
for wellness policy should not be included in that match.
Yeah. They've got that match scheduled for next week, and what a stupid idea.
Really?
You can tell this is desperation. This is, hey, we need ratings.
Mm-hmm.
We need ratings now. Give me ratings now.
Mm-hmm.
Not only do they have the live SmackDown next week in the draft, but they're pushing Rollins versus Ambrose. It's hot-shotting it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mistake, but I get why they're doing
it. I honestly don't think this match happened. It either doesn't happen or it's not a full. It's there's some sort of shadiness.
There's going to be some shadiness.
I mean, there has to be. You can't just
or
have,
there won't be. Yeah. Or Rollins will win. Rollins will win the title, and then Reigns will win it back at Battleground.
Don't. See.
There's the darkest timeline, Cody.
Yeah, Sunday, July 24th is so whenever that is.
And I swear to God, my hands on the Bible that doesn't exist because I don't own one because it's bullshit. I kid.
So edgy.
I kid. But I guarantee you that if that happens, if Ambrose loses the title to Rollins on Raw and then Reigns wins the title off Rollins at Battleground, I quit. I'm done. That'll be the last pro wrestling scripted.
This will become the Cruiserweight Classic reaction show.
Just like Battleground broke you last year,
mm-hmm.
It has the chance to break me this year.
Yep.
So that's Raw. Back to Lesnar versus
Back
Orton.
To Lesnar because his post-fight interview, the one in the Octagon, again, I said it in the group chat, Brock Lesnar is Schrodinger's douchebag. He is both the most likable guy and also just a total dick.
Yeah.
He's fighting out of Canada now.
Is he really?
He had the Canadian flag because he moved up there.
What?
You didn't know that?
No.
So now he's throwing trees in the snow.
Now he's just picking up entire trees.
Yeah, trees are heavy. Trees are heavier because they're way down with the snow.
He's a moose.
He's just
a bench
pressing
his cattle. His cattle on his ranch got too light, so now he's gonna go find Mises.
Mises.
Done. So he's fighting out of Canada. And he did the whole love one another, unite as an America, unite as a nation.
Support the police. So,
yeah, how you can't. This is the same guy who did the eye roll at the other press conference.
Yeah.
About.
I think Lesnar was so legitimately happy that he was back in UFC and won.
Yeah.
I think that was the first time Lesnar's ever been legitimately happy, at least in a long time.
That was genuine emotion. That was
right.
Yeah. And it's crazy to see a guy like Brock Lesnar show that kind of emotion. And so, I mean, major props to him. I'm proud of him for winning.
I'm proud of him for fighting.
Yeah,
CM Punk fights.
Yeah.
Win or lose, I'm proud of him
for doing it.
Yeah.
It was great. It was a good fight. Just he did great in it.
That whole card I heard was good.
Yeah.
We don't want to turn this into the UFC show.
All of a sudden,
but
Misha Tate, like, all her bandwagon seems pretty empty.
No, I'm still there. I still like Misha Tate. Mm-hmm. I've always liked Misha Tate.
Mm.
No, I was a fan of Cupcake when she lost to Rousey twice, and I still like her. She's a classy fighter. She's one of those fighters that I don't think she's as good as a lot of the people in the UFC, but she definitely carries herself with a kind of class and dignity that someone like Ronda Rousey, who's the best fighter in the division, no doubt about it, lacks in every way. Rousey is the female Lesnar. She's both kind of awesome and a complete douchebag at the same time. I want verification.
I don't know that much about her.
She,
I'm just
she,
salty because of the whole the way that casual and non-casual fans both treated Ronda Rousey after her loss, like, I just, ugh. Oh, someone lost one time. Nope, they're the worst. No, they've overhyped. Hey, never done anything good.
Baby, not me. Not me. I said what I said about Ronda Rousey. I thought her loss is going to hurt her in the long term. That was before we found out about all of the other problems she has, mentally and otherwise, that she needs to work through before she can get back in the octagon. But I think that her return match will be probably one of the biggest UFCs of all time.
Yeah.
Depending on who they put her against. Because who do you put her against now? You can't put her against Holly Holm in a rematch, because what would be the point? Holm's not the champion. You can't have Misha Tate versus Ronda Rousey 3 because Misha Tate's not the champion. Now you would go Ronda Rousey versus Nunes, I think, is the one that won. And there's no hype for it. There's no storyline. It's just a fight. But anyway, that's UFC. We'll leave that to Cody for the weekend show. He's got to have something to talk about. We keep taking his best material.
I hope he talks about DC.
Who?
Cormier.
Oh, yeah. Cormier beat Silva.
Yeah.
I like Cormier.
I like both of those guys.
Yeah.
Cormier weeping when he found out that friggin' douchebag was suspended and saying, I'll sign a waiver. I don't care if he's juicing.
He just wants to fight.
He wants to prove that, yeah, no, fan for life.
And what an awful person John Jones is. If you ever want an example of all of the talent in the world and not the class to back it up, John Jones, who has the talent to be the best and is now probably done completely with fighting. He's probably not coming back at this point.
I hope not. Good. Go fight bums in the parking lot somewhere.
Go to Canada
and fight.
It's
better than you deserve.
I got a guy in Canada that will fight you.
Yeah, go fight Brock Lesnar. I'd watch that fight.
On a moose farm.
On a moose farm.
Hey, you have written down here on the lovely notes that Asa put for us before of who didn't make it into the UFC. That's Kurt Angle. Yeah. I remember this story years ago because he tried to be on, Ultimate Fighter, and they told him no.
It turned out Dana White had a deal ready to go, but he couldn't pass the medical. So no one really knows what that means, if it was he couldn't pass the drug test.
Wasn't this back when he was in TNA, right?
It was in 2009.
TNA. He was in TNA. And the story's about Kurt Angle and the problems that he had at the time, especially. It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
You know?
And so it's either, it was either drug problem, his body, because his body was in terrible shape.
Yeah.
Not like he was in bad shape, just like injuries.
He was breaking down.
And, yeah. So it's one of those things. Someone commented on a Reddit thread where I saw that, because Dana White recently did an interview and talked about it. But it's like, if he has to take those same tests that Daniel Bryan had to take, there's no way he's ever going to wrestle in WWE again.
I mean, part of the reason he left WWE in the first place was because they wanted him to get help and he didn't want to.
Yeah, they wanted him to go to rehab.
Yeah. Speaking of Kurt Angle and TNA, because we're kind of going through the list here. We've only got about 20 minutes left, and we have lots to talk about.
I told you that CWC was a...
that was a 20-minute killer. TNA is close to being sold.
Yeah,
now, part of it was bought by Billy Corgan, from what I understand.
He kind of floated them some cash, it seemed like.
And
I've
heard he's a minority holder now.
Yeah, I'm not as familiar with this as I probably should be.
Billy Corgan is the lead singer of the Smashing Pumpkins.
Allie, the Smashing Pumpkins was a popular punk rock band.
Rock was the precursor to 21 Pilots and other groups alternative now.
I'm about to start, smacking the microphone.
From what I understood, Aerolux still is paying their bills, and Billy Corgan is paying Aerolux back. So he's a minority holder. Dixie Carter is still hell-bent on getting the presidency.
Why?
Because it's like, hey.
Why?
Hey, buy this company that I ran into the ground, but I still want to be in charge of it. What? No, Trump. You don't get to do that. But the buyer is unknown. It's just Meltzer sources say that it's very close to being a deal.
But you've said this before, and it's important to mention, how many times have we run the story of TNA is either going out of business, it's going to be sold.
Oh, yeah.
We've done this story so many times in the year and a half we've been in operation here at Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
And for years before that, it was always just,
TNA's last weekend. Right.
No, there's
always
no more
been going out. So we'll keep up with that story as it goes. But right now, the story is TNA close to being sold to a new buyer.
Yep.
So that's interesting.
Speaking of TNA...
what does that mean for
TNA's debts could be deleted?
Well, I didn't have that next.
Why not?
I don't know why I had the draft instead, but let's talk about
that's silly.
Oh, God. We only have 15 minutes, and...
It doesn't deserve it. I'll tell you... Okay,
you don't think it
deserves... Here's my rant. The final deletion does not deserve more than 5 minutes, because it was... The first one that they did was terrible. They wanted it to be better than it was, and outside of Matt Hardy's overacting, which is absolutely intentional...
Yeah, and great. Yes. Best part
and
of
great.
It.
Yeah, 100%. Outside of that, everything about it, they thought they were doing something crazy awesome. Oh, everyone's laughing at it. Well, let's just steer into the skid.
And
we watched the final deletion here.
Live.
Well,
2 hours, because we didn't know it was only going to be a 10-minute match.
And we, Yeah, I'm getting there, buddy. I'll feed you, baby bird.
Mm.
I
am hungry.
The entire, all of the background segments, aside from like the Vanguard One and the drones, and like the Willow and the Gardner and the Taser stuff, there was only a couple like, okay, that's legitimately WTF, like actually laughing funny. Everything else was just a really kind of choppily edited. I hate when they do matches like that where it looks like they're supposed to be fighting all night because the match ended at sunrise.
Yeah.
But it's a...
I didn't even realize that until you just mentioned that.
It was a 10-minute segment that the match itself was...
Awful.
It wasn't bad. It's just, it's hard to enjoy a match. It's the same complaint I had about when Samoa Joe beat Finn Balor for the NXT Championship at the house show. They only showed like little edited bits.
Well, and that's the problem with enjoying a match like that is that it's so heavily edited. What you see, they could do 20 takes for one shot. You know, this is not the kind of match.
Which, judging from that latter spot, I don't think they did.
Right, because that was pretty bad.
Yeah.
The big thing with Final Deletion, the only thing that carries it is Matt Hardy.
Yeah.
I will say that.
No, yeah.
Matt Hardy is the saving grace of that whole thing. Because if it was up to Jeff Hardy, he's an awful actor and an awful human being.
Yeah.
Matt Hardy is the savior of that whole thing. He is the reason it's watchable because he's so over the top, it's fun.
Right.
Because there's a difference between being bad and being fun and being bad and being bad.
Yeah.
You know, Matt Hardy is the fun in the bad.
And so to me, the final deletion was not worth the hype of here's people reacting it and they're laughing hysterically the entire time. Max Landis says it's the most amazing thing ever. It's not.
Well, Max Landis gave Ghostbusters a 5.
It wasn't 5? it wasn't bad enough to be like popcorn bad, and it wasn't good enough to be enjoyable fully. So that's just how I felt about it. Except for Matt Hardy, yeah.
Matt Hardy truly that I've joked that this is going to be what he's remembered for.
Yeah.
This is like an Ed Wood level of brilliance. I mean.
And like on Impact last night, the Destination X show that they did.
Yeah.
You know, they did the aftermath of it where he.
With the party and the viewing room.
Yeah.
And it's so insane. Anything with Matt Hardy is great. It's insane and over the top and fantastic.
But as soon as they cut away to like Rebe Sky or.
It's immediately back to terrible.
But the worst kind of terrible.
Right.
Where they don't want it to be.
And now WWE decided, and you can say whether or not, okay, they took Final Deletion, they took this whole thing from Lucha Underground because it's very much shot in that style.
Right.
So when people say, well, the WWE is now trying to rip off TNA, you can make that argument, no, Lucha Underground did it first. But the fact that it's a week after Final Deletion.
And I'll also make this argument, the Wyatts did it first.
With the home video,
not only the home video of the WWE reporter trying to find there. I'm talking how many segments are the Wyatts in where they're not in the backstage they're not in the backstage area, they're not in a ring, they're not on the ramp. All of his segments come from that tool shed looking thing. Granted, yes, it's a set. Yes, there's not actually a compound. But they have been doing that for years.
But also, I think it's important to note that they never had a fight there. I think the big part of deletion was that they had, this was the
match. Yeah.
Right. And now you have, Big E and Kofi and Xavier going to the Wyatt compound and in another overly produced, here's 14 camera angles that are impossible.
Yeah.
And it's still bad. I thought the Wyatt and New Day thing was still bad.
I enjoyed it more than I'd enjoyed I enjoyed it more than the final deletion just because the tone of it was way more consistent.
It was, but like, it was also super serious. And that's why I didn't like it as much because, all right.
I'd rather it attempt to me, I would rather it attempt to be super serious and not be great than to be, hey, this is super serious. Matt, Jeff Hardy might be on fire. But aren't we laughing at wacky Matt saying Skarsgård?
That's pretty funny, though. Like, Skarsgård the boat.
I would rather have a uniform tone.
In full disclosure. We give people like Jim Cornette and Vince Russo a lot of shit on the show because of the old fashioned views that they have. In a lot of ways, I'm the same way. I always wanted wrestling to be taken seriously. I always wanted wrestling to be a legitimate sport. Mm-hmm. And things like this.
Have you heard about the Cruiserweight Classic?
It's amazing. And yeah. when you think that, that is happening in the same world that the Wyatts are fighting, you know, the New Day, or that the Final Deletion happens, as a wrestling fan that wants wrestling to be taken seriously, and I want it to be on the same level as the UFC and mixed martial arts and that kind of stuff, this does more to set back the legitimacy of wrestling than anything else I can think of.
I think Final Deletion does that way more than the...
Oh, no, I agree. I agree.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying this style. Mm-hmm. Like, Final Deletion, if not for the camp factor, it did more to damage wrestling's reputation than anything I can think of in the past few years.
Yeah.
I imagine Jim Cornette is rolling spinning around in his grave.
Yeah.
And it was, from that standpoint, horrible. Absolutely horrible to wrestling.
And I'll admit, like, the timing is clearly WWE's capitalizing on all of this press that...
Because you got it written down here. They spiked the ratings. And we knew they would.
Look at those ratings, by the way. They went to 411,000 people tuned into Pop TV to watch TNA.
For the Final Deletion.
Biggest rating they've ever had
yes.
since the debut on Pop.
Right.
And then from there, what was it, like 320,000?
Yeah.
So when people say that, oh, the Wyatts are completely ripping off the Hardys, no. Because, like, granted, they might be taking advantage of a lot of the hype of it.
Yeah.
But how many people watched Raw versus how many people watched the Final Deletion?
That's true. But one last thing before we get off this, we got about 10 minutes left. We got to rush through some of these things. You can guarantee that they're going to push more of the Final Deletion. They've actually got more segments planned. Well,
and they did,
and it wasn't final.
They've, no.
Wait, just... you mean there's four Final Fantasies?
I hate you doing this so many times. I lost it. No, oh, so on the Destination X show, they did a, Matt Hardy was going to tear up Jeff's contract and banish him from TNA. Oh, wait, no, I don't want you to go to New York and Vince McMahon. Like, they name drop Vince McMahon, which just every time they do that, it feels so minor league.
Yeah, because they'll never do that on Raw.
Because they don't have to.
No.
Raw
will never say, well, the Hardy's over there.
Yeah, no.
No.
It's not going to happen.
No.
So, like, so Jeff is still there, and I guess they're going to kind of rehash the whole, like, now Jeff has to work for Matt angle that they did last year.
With the Bellows. Yeah. Wait, what?
No. Oh, no, the Hardys did it, too.
Oh, sorry.
But the Destination X show actually happened this week, too.
It did, and just a couple quick points on that. The big showdown between
Eddie Edwards and Bobby Lashley.
No contest, of course. You knew that was going to happen. I knew that was going
to
happen.
See, I wanted to believe it wouldn't. I kind of assumed that there would be some sort of sketchiness, but it was hard for me to imagine one of those guys leaving with both championships.
Yeah, especially Bobby Lashley leaving with the X Division.
Yeah. Which...
as bad as when Kevin Nash was in the X Division.
See, and honestly, there's so many things that I want to talk about with that, because he talks about wanting to rip out the heart of the X Division. The X Division is not nearly as united as a force as it was, so it's like, you know, even though they all did kind of team up against Mike Bennett,
yeah.
who pledged to ruin Destination X.
To burn it
X,
down, yeah.
And he kind of did, because he had
Moose. Moose made his debut.
Moose made his debut.
Not the same Moose that Brock Lesnar's lifting.
Which was kind of...
Different
probably
Moose.
Probably would have helped him out.
Former NFL player. I don't know how to pronounce his name, so
I'm
not even going to try.
It's very African.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But
no, that wasn't a joke, Allie.
I honestly have no idea what you're talking about.
She gave me the, oh my God, Shannon, shut up eyes. No, I'm not making fun of him.
No,
his
yeah,
name is...
I'll pull it
like,
up and I'll show you.
One of my favorite actors from Oz and from... His name is Adewale, African name. Because there's no way in hell I'll pronounce it. He's a great actor, though. He's playing Killer Croc in Suicide Squad.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good guy.
But it kind of bugged me that he came out fist pumping with the crowd, even though he was a heel, teaming up with Mike Bennett to ruin the match. Davey Richards also kind of was like super over the top. We used to be friends. Then we became tag team partners. Now we're brothers. It's like, oh, well, Richards is going to turn. But Bennett talked about not being alone in him trying to destroy TNA. So it's next week on TNA, they're going to do a Six Sides of Steel match to determine the same stipulation between Edwards and Lashley.
Yeah.
Because no one could ever interfere in a steel cage match.
It's never happened before.
Ugh.
Whoa.
Dixie's stupid. I don't like her.
I listened to a rant that Jim Cornette did on his podcast, over the weekend, and he was talking about the Final Deletion, and he mentioned Dixie Carter, and the words he used to describe her
were not kind.
Were not kind.
We can't repeat those here.
They were downright,
hurtful.
they were downright
unnecessary,
immature.
Yeah.
Misogynistic.
Yeah.
He very much went to the old school. Let's slut shame her.
Yeah.
Even though there's no reason to.
Right.
So Jim Cornette, even though I do find his views fascinating, I love hearing him talk about wrestling. What a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awful, awful person. But we got about 5 minutes left. We have a whole bunch of stuff we didn't get to talk about tonight.
We can go a little bit extra.
Let's run through it real quick. Well, I want to get home. It's like 11:30.
Too bad.
I got to post the show. I got to boot my computer up.
But wrestling.
They announced that they're going to have GMs on Raw SmackDown.
Yep.
And
so Stephanie McMahon is going to control Raw.
Of course.
Shane McMahon is going to control SmackDown.
Of course.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
But not only that, they have to have general managers to run the day-to-day time. So, which maybe that means less Stephanie on Raw.
But also means less Shane on SmackDown.
Who cares about Shane? Yeah, no.
I like Shane.
The main event of Raw leading into the draft was McMahon family drama.
Yes.
Speaking of yes, possible spoilers.
Yes.
WWE Network might have accidentally leaked who Shane McMahon picked for his general manager.
Yes.
Who he tweeted about signing the deal officially.
Yes.
And he will announce it on Raw.
Yes.
If you don't get it, it's going to be Daniel Bryan.
Yes.
Which... part of me, between his involvement in the CWC and him being a potentially weekly character on SmackDown, and the sadness of him having to retire and like wanting to distance himself from wrestling because he doesn't actually get to wrestle anymore. Like, I mean, clearly he wouldn't do it if he didn't think he could handle it, but that just makes me sad. And Daniel Bryan tonight on commentary talking about like Ibushi.
That's why.
I tried to combine Kota and Ibushi.
Kabosha.
Talking about his neck injury, like, oh, Ibushi just had a neck, a herniated disc. Like, he's.
You can almost. I feel so scared he's going to turn to him and go, just, you know, I had neck problems.
Yeah, just like, he just all of a sudden, like, why is he weeping? Just like, you just hear Maro try to call a match and then just silent, like, quiet sobbing.
Just whimpering.
So uncomfortable.
We don't know who the Raw announcement is going to be.
But it won't be Triple H.
No, but there is the big rumor is that's Eric Bischoff. And they tweeted Eric Bischoff over the weekend and said, hey, what's the chances of you going to be, you know, the Raw GM? And the first time he replied, he said, no
Stay
chance.
Tuned.
Well, no, the first time he said no chance. He was like, it's not going to happen. Don't hold your breath. The second time they asked him, like a day later, he said, stay tuned. Anything can happen in WWE.
Yeah, then no, but I think you're getting them backwards because he actually followed that tweet up with, no, no, I'm saying anything could happen on WWE, but it's probably not going to involve me.
Or like, it could be all three of them.
It could be. It could be. He could be doing the Jericho.
Eric Bischoff is very good at playing the crowd. He's always been a very controversial figure. I'm actually a big fan of Eric Bischoff. I am. I always thought he was really cool. Kind of a dick, too.
That one idea he had was pretty good.
Oh, the Hell in a Cell? What? Well, no, was that Hell in a Cell? No, the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. My bad.
How many miles of chain?
Who did Hell in a Cell?
Undertaker. Probably. I don't know.
Yeah. It's probably, yeah.
That was a much older match.
Hey.
Hey, hey.
We have to wrap it up soon.
No, we don't.
Was there anything else we want to talk about? Sure. There's Paul Heyman and Will Ospreay. You go ahead and talk about
that
real quick.
That was a huge deal because
Paul Heyman, Zack Ryder, and then we're leaving. I'm out of here.
Paul Heyman did a, I'm going to run through those Bolo names.
Real quick.
That's rapid fire.
Okay. Then Zack Ryder.
Paul Heyman did I can't remember the name of his thing where he does kind of a stage show. But
is it the Heyman Hustle? Is it named
No, that's, I mean, it's not named after his website. It's, okay. It was like a one night, it was like, the
one night
with Heyman, something like that. But it involved, Will Ospreay and Marty Skrull. I can never say his name right. Skrull? Not Skrull.
Yes.
I have to say it because he's in Bola. He wanted, he's like, I'm glad you could be here. I want to give you this, hands him his personal business card with his phone number on it. Because my friend, and he goes on about the spiel about Gabe Sapolsky and how he runs Evolve, wanted to give you this and hands him a contract live on stage to offer Will Ospreay. And he kind of went out and said, you know, whenever you're done with your Japan dates, we'd love to have you. And the two reasons this is so huge is Evolve is an American-based company. Will Ospreay, you know,
British.
Competing, he's British. He's doing all sorts of stuff in Japan right now. Bringing him into America is big. But also, Evolve is directly working with WWE and NXT. And especially
Paul Heyman's
especially
there
Paul
doing
Heyman's
it, yeah.
involved. So, you know, it's a lot of people are getting really excited about some sort of potential.
Will Ospreay?
Will Ospreay coming to.
Well, he's not in the Cruiserweight tournament,
no,
right?
No, he's not.
That's a shame. Yeah. I feel like he would have been great for it. Ricochet's not in it
same,
either, right?
Yeah, same with Ricochet. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, I wonder, I've always been fascinated in how those sort of independent companies can agree who works where, who wins, who loses, what happens. Like, that just has always fascinated me, and I know nothing about it.
Yeah. Complicated.
Yeah. So, speaking of those names, hand me the paper.
But why?
Because I have the names written down on the back.
Oh, he does have the names written down on the back. Okay, yeah. That's smart.
So, you have
30 seconds.
Screw you. I'm going to go full sloth from whatever Disney movie
Zootopia.
That was.
From whatever Pixar abomination something, that they threw in theater to make $1 billion this week.
They should have just done Cars.
Like parts of it.
you mean the part between the beginning and the end?
Allie, we're on a schedule here, babe. We got to go.
PWG announced the final competitors in the Battle of Los Angeles tournament. In alphabetical order, it's the full list because we ran down about half of it a couple weeks ago. Adam Cole, Chris Hero, Cody Rhodes, Dalton Castle, Phoenix, Jack Gallagher, Jeff Cobb, John Hennigan, Jushin Thunder Liger, Kai Matachi. That's the one that I butchered last time, and I know I just butchered it again. I'm sorry.
If you're listening to the show,
I apologize. Kyle O'Reilly, Mark Andrews, Marty Skrull, S-C-U-R-L-L.
S-C-U-R-L-L. Skrull, yeah. Sounds about right.
Matt Seidel.
Then again, Brett Favre.
Matthew Riddle, Pentagon Jr., Pete Dunne, Ricochet, Sammy Callahan, Tommy End, Trevor Lee, Will Ospreay, and Zack Sabre Jr. Who's also in the Cruiserweight Classic.
That's a good list.
It's a really good list. These are going to be some great matches. I'm excited about it.
My gut instinct says push Cody Rhodes to the moon. I don't need that back. You can keep that. And it's going to fall off the table. Bye-bye. Very good. Push Cody Rhodes to the moon because he's the big free agent, mm-hmm. WWE superstar. There's no reason not to have him win. Yeah. But it's also PWG.
And it's one of those things where, again, like, I want to know how these are determined because does he need it? I don't think if he loses in it, like, especially if he loses in like the finals or the semifinals, it's not going to hurt his marketability. So
dude's riding a sugar high right now.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of riding a sugar high, and this is the last thing we're going to talk about, Zack Ryder. Can we talk about Zack Ryder for a second?
Who?
Zack Ryder, who coming off, all right, he won the IC title at WrestleMania. Right. It was a feel-good moment. I jumped up. I literally jumped up and started fist-pumping and yelling in each of your faces because I was so excited Zack Ryder won.
Yeah. I was yelling at the TV.
Then he lost the next night to The Miz.
After showing that picture of holding Scott Hall's championship and then Scott Hall holding his... Oh, stop it, WWE.
Then he loses the rematch. Then he loses. Then he loses. Then he loses.
And then he goes back to being Zack Ryder.
Yeah. Then he goes back to jobbing Ryder. Well, then something crazy happened 2 weeks ago, I think. He's in that
4th of July.
The World Tag Team Tournament. Yeah. And he and Big Show win. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, well, that's weird that they had Zack Ryder be in the final. I can see Big Show, obviously, because he's, you know, whatever.
But Zack Ryder pinned Sheamus.
Yeah. And then on SmackDown, Zack Ryder beat Sheamus again, mm-hmm. clean. And it's like, wait a minute. And he got new music, his downstate version, which is really, really cool. Yeah. So you think, oh my God, is this it? Are they finally going to push Zack Ryder again? He even shows some backbone against Rusev, gets in his face, doesn't back
challenges
down.
Challenges him to a United States championship. Like, yeah. Challenges him for, like, wants to be in the United States championship picture.
Zack Ryder is suddenly a major player again. And it happened so quickly. And from all the reports I've read and what I've seen, the crowd is so behind him. The crowd wants Zack Ryder to succeed. So on Raw, in the third match, freaking Sheamus beats Zack Ryder clean.
Well, no, yeah, but you already said on Friday on SmackDown, he
beat Sheamus.
Yeah, Zack Ryder beat Sheamus.
Well, hold on. The story is going to continue.
Oh, I know it does.
Because then Rusev comes out and pummels Zack Ryder, puts in the accolade, and says, I accept your challenge. So what happens on SmackDown? Have you read the results?
I actually haven't yet.
Zack Ryder beats Alberto Del Rio.
Okay.
Clean.
Oh, wait. No, yeah, I did. Because this next part is the part that really confused me.
Maybe I'm missing a part because I smell toast at this point. He beat Alberto Del Rio clean and then got in Rusev's face again. Actually, I think hits Rusev and makes it out okay. Now they've booked Zack Ryder versus Rusev for the title. And you think, well, this is a great story. They're pushing Zack Ryder and he's going to fight for the title. Why did he lose to Sheamus on Raw? What was the point of that? Is it just their stupid 50-50 booking that can't decide whether or not someone should win or lose? You have Zack Ryder beat Sheamus multiple times and then all of a sudden, for no reason at all, loses to Sheamus just to beat Alberto Del Rio and immediately get put back in the title picture. Now, here's the problem I have with this other than that bullshit, because that just breaks my mind. But now you're telling me that I should cheer Zack Ryder against Rusev. You know how many times Rusev has beaten Zack Ryder in the past few years? Week after week after week, he's beaten Zack Ryder.
I think if I'm remembering correctly, Zack Ryder was the guy that Rusev beat when he got sick of beating the New Day before they were the New Day.
Right. And now it's not even so much that he beat Zack Ryder, because he beat the New Day and I can take them seriously, but he beat Zack Ryder 444 consecutive times. He has a Goldberg streak of Zack Ryder alone. And now you want me to feel that because Zack Ryder got new music, he can beat Rusev? Well, I might have bought that if you didn't have him lose clean to Sheamus on Raw.
But then he beat Alberto Del Rio.
What's wrong with you?
Zack Ryder got a hold of some bootios.
Isn't that what you said? God damn it.
So, but I see, okay, so I'm looking at SmackDown spoilers right now. I don't see that match. I don't see Ryder versus Del Rio. What I do see is Dolph Ziggler versus Rusev.
Yeah.
Dolph Ziggler won.
Because Ryder distracted him.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah. And okay. It's on the same show. I don't know why it's not listed there, but yeah, Ryder beat Alberto. Alberto Del Rio clean. And now they're gonna wrestle.
I do see, Styles and Anderson versus Enzo and Cass, Kalisto versus Tyler Breeze, Dean Ambrose versus Owens.
Oh, that's another thing. So Fabrango, whatever their names are, they beat Breezango. The Lucha Dragons on Raw. I don't understand booking. I don't understand. I don't want to talk about it.
They're doing stuff to make some of the lower card players seem more important. So whenever they do the split,
And that's exactly it. That's probably exactly it. But the problem is, like, if you do that over time, then everyone seems important. One of the things that I love so much about the old days of WWF, I swear, maybe it's because I was a kid and I didn't know any better, but I truly felt anybody could win, like the Royal Rumble.
I will stand by the statement of me being 100% convinced that Steve Blackman was going to be WWE champion.
Anything can happen in the World Wrestling Federation. But then they got the F out.
Aren't you sick of having your intelligence insulted?
Yes, I am. And that's why we're wrapping this up right now. Pro Wrestling Unscripted is closed forever. Till next week.
Well,
heard it here first.
Tune in after Battleground for 60 minutes of Shannon sobbing and screaming into a microphone.
My special guest will be Daniel Bryan. Oh. We'll sob together.
Too soon.
Thank you guys for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. Go watch the Cruiserweight tournament. It's amazing. Tune in tomorrow. It's Thursday. We're going to have a show. Probably won't be very good. It's not going to be about goddamn Pokemon, I'll tell you that. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you tomorrow. Allie and Asa, thanks for being here. Allie, tell Asa to take us out.
Asa, take us out.
CWC. Watch it. All of it. Go do it. Just keep going. I'm just going to go until you turn it off. But yeah, Daivari should have won.
You're the one that wanted to leave.